This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling this Wednesday morning. Well, an awful lot happened in the world of sports. I mean, the convergence of a ton, including a trade deadline, which was, you know, not a ton. Matter of fact, it was squat-ta by the Birds. We'll talk about that. We'll get to the John Middleton thing. Big article out yesterday about his mindset as the Phillies obviously enter a really important offseason and come out of a just disastrous playoff. We'll get to the Sixers with Joel suspended. They play tonight. Flyers lost last night. So all of it on the table. 215-592-9494. Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
The largest pumpkin pie ever created weighed 3,700 pounds.
No.
Yum. What?
Did it taste
3,700. I don't know how
did
it
they
tasted.
Cook it?
I have no idea how you cooked it. It was.
That's the better question.
20 feet, 20 feet in diameter. So when you think about like two rims, like two dunks on top of one another, high. That's how tall
well,
the pumpkin
ridiculous.
Pie was.
That's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
It is.
Yeah.
So you know what's also unbelievable? There's so much going on in Philly sports, but what's not going on is. There's no acquisition, right, James? I just want to make sure. No acquisition?
No, we got Dave Dombrowski.
All right, so let's tackle this Eagles trade deadline thing, then we'll broaden it out to the squad as, you know, it's almost the halfway point of the year. It's a whole weird thing. It used to be 16 games, now it's 17. They're 6-2. They've played 8. They got to get to 17 for this. All right, so trade deadline. Does it bother you that the Eagles did not make a move or, you know, an upgrade at the trade deadline? Now, let me take first crack at this, John, just tell you, it actually does not bother me. I'm still frustrated that they blew a third-round draft pick on Jahan Dotson. You guys know I was skeptical at the beginning. Now, there have been things I've been right about. There are things I've been wrong about. I just had a bad feeling on that one, and I feel like he's not that good. Now, I know they get a third-rounder for Reddick, so I get that, okay? But the Dotson thing still bothers me. And would it have been nice to add a pass rusher, and would that have probably been the main thing? Sure. But I also know part of this is the evaluation of how good really are the Eagles, which, frankly, I think there's conflict, certainly for me, maybe for a lot of people, given who the Eagles had just beaten over the last 4 weeks, like what really are they? John, the trade deadline, does it bother you they didn't add someone?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I thought this was the key, part of the key to what we were trying to do here, and that the first half of the season would have proven to this front office, okay, here are the areas of need. Clearly, we need to go get some bolstering in the pass rush department, and now there was a deadline that came and went. It feels like something must have been swiped out from under us in order for it to come and go with nothing happening. Preston Smith is now a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Of the Browns.
No, I'm talking
the Packers. I'm sorry, my fault.
Preston Smith of the Packers is now a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Yep.
The Za'Darius Smith of the Browns, as Jimmy
is a Lion, yeah.
is now a Lion, a team who is at atop the NFC. The best team in the NFC is making moves. They made a move that not only made them a lot better because Aiden Hutchinson went down. They needed it. It made us worse because we needed it too. We needed a pass rusher to aid what we got because it's just not good enough. Bryce Huff, it's still, hey, he was asked about yesterday. Bryce Huff is a missing, just a no man's land.
Yeah, he's a nothing at this point.
Nolan Smith is kind of, you know, like if they don't block him, maybe he'll get in there, but I don't have a lot of faith he's going to get in there with consistency if they account for him. That doesn't feel good in any way. We should have gone and gotten better. I'm sure that was part of the plan, and we didn't get it done.
Okay, no, that's right. So here's what I'll say. It's definitely in the past been part of the plan when Howie really believes in the team and there's a need. So 2022, they were so stacked. I honestly, I don't remember what they did, but I don't think they added anyone of note. You can make the case there was no need. I mean, they were crushing fools. But 2017, when Darren Sproles had gotten hurt, it did help to bring in Jay Ajayi. It really did.
The Commanders went out and got better against us. They added Marshawn Lattimore, a cornerback, a guy who makes it easier for them to cover our, you know, really, it's a weapon. Think about that convoy of wide receivers coming in to get you.
I know, I understand.
Marshawn Lattimore now helps the Commanders, who are ahead of us. In the NFC East
they
are.
And their defense was their biggest weakness, and they improved it. The Eagles didn't.
They did. James, does it bother you? And again, everyone, 215-592-9494. I mean, it is a little unusual that they didn't do something when they have a team that's got this kind of record. James, does it bother you?
Yeah, of course it bothers me. I mean, this team is 6-2. They're one of the best teams in the NFC, however you want to shake it out. And they had a real opportunity here. And it bothers me even more when I see what the market was. I mean, Za'Darius Smith would have been a perfect fit for this team. He went for a 5th and a 6th, and they got a 7th back. You can't give that up for a shot? Like, it makes no sense. Like, I understand if you're not going to add, if the prices are super, super high, and you got to give up a second-round pick for him. Okay, I can understand that. But it was a 5th and a 6th across the board. That's what Preston Smith went. That's what Za'Darius Smith went for. Like, why?
James, does it bother you more, even more, given the Phillies trade deadline
fiasco? Of course it does. All I could think about with Dave Dombrowski last night, and you know I said it in the moment when it happened, that I thought it was a massive mistake to not invest in that team. And again, at least there you could say, oh, it was an expensive market, even though it wasn't quite as expensive as they said it was.
Sure.
Like, this is a 5th and a 6th for a chance.
All right, so look, it's squarely on the table for you, 215-592-9494. I'm really not bothered by it at all. Maybe I should be. Okay?
How are you not bothered? You're not bothered that the teams that we're competing against directly went out and got better.
Well, I wish they
got better in ways where they match
did,
up
Joe.
No, I understand.
But
no, I understand.
They prevented us from getting better while getting better themselves.
No, I get it. Well,
Lions and the Commanders, that's our main opponent
now. I agree. They are the main opponent. Here's the thing. Part of what makes this a trickier trade deadline than the 6-2 record would normally indicate, and I'm curious where you come down on this at 215-592-9494, is how to evaluate what the Eagles have done in the last four games against those four teams. Now, let me just ask you guys a question, because I feel confident this is part of what Howie had to evaluate, and frankly, what I think a lot of us are trying to assess. We're very happy they're 6-2 instead of 2-2 or 4-4. Okay. But while they looked better, and certainly this past game, they looked a lot better in many ways until they bungled it near the end and it got really close and they almost lost. Let me just ask all four of you, John, Devin, James, and Ray, without doing math, just off the top of your head, do you know the combined record of the last four teams the Eagles faced? No matches. Boom. Do you know it?
Well, it's got to be like
4. I don't know it. No.
Okay. No one knows, right? Here's
losing.
What it is.
It has to be.
It's 10-26.
Yeah.
Now, that's horrendous. Now, you can say, all right, well, the Eagles were four of those losses. So then without the Eagles, they're 10-22. I mean, they beat in the last four games. Cleveland, who's currently 2-7. The Giants are 2-7. Cincy's 4-5. That's clearly the most impressive of the four wins. And Jacksonville's 2-7. And by the way, some of those games were kind of close. So if I'm Howie yesterday, and John, I hear you. And James, I really hear you. I mean, I'm not pushing it aside. And James, I'm not saying you might not be proven right in 3 weeks, in 2 months, you know, when it's like stretch run time or playoff time. James, maybe you're going to be totally proven right. But maybe not. I mean, my evaluation of what I see with the Eagles is, in a nutshell, I'm not sure. I hate to be so wishy-washy, but I'm being honest. I mean, I remember saying to myself when they were 2-2, and John was saying, they're probably going to win the next four games. And I said to myself, I hope they do, but I don't want to get completely sucked in with full faith and credit belief if they do, just because they beat a bunch of bums. I mean, they beat a bunch of bums. So are they really that? I mean, John, are they really good? Do you know that you can stamp that the Eagles are really good and it was worth going in? Because I can't say that I can stamp that. I know they might be, but I have a great amount of conflict over that.
Wow.
I mean, Trevor Lawrence, Watson,
and
Daniel Jones, those guys stink. In a couple of those games, the Eagles barely won. John, you tell me, are they really a legitimately good team, the Eagles?
I don't think, Joe, they don't know if they're a legitimately good team.
Well, then that's part of why you don't put all a third-round chip on the table.
Are they supposed to be a fully evolved product right now?
No,
they're not. They're not anywhere close. And as a guy who's played and watched teams evolve, I've gone from desperate and despondent, assuming we're down and out a month and a half in, to headed to the Super Bowl in the same season. With the same group of guys
Time.
Okay,
I'm just saying.
It happens.
It does happen.
A season is tumultuous. And right now, yes, it feels like things are going in the right direction. I do think that we've got, things were about to fall apart on us for a little bit. The bye came at the right time. And we were able, the coaching staff was able, with the aid of some of the old head players and the leaders on that team, to get this thing back under control. It's not where it needs to be. It's not where I expected it would be, Joe. It's not as good as I wanted it to be at this point in time, but it's better than the bad teams, and it seems like it's kind of on par with the good teams right now, which is amazing to me. It feels like everyone is slow this season getting good.
Most are. That's right. Other than Detroit and Kansas City, most teams.
It's just been a real slog for everybody.
That's right.
So, no, I don't think they're good enough to go win a Super Bowl right now, but I don't think they're supposed to be, and I don't think anyone else out there is either. So, it's okay. I believe, watching the improvement that we've seen over since the bye, that we should expect improvement, that we should expect a group that knows how to put their mind to something and actually get better, which is a great sign. I love that about our team.
Well, look,
and I love the fact that we're more talented than almost everyone else out there. So we're going to win a ton of games. Are we going to win the games that matter most when you have to go home when you lose them? I'm not there yet. I don't know.
Here's where your statement is right, if it's true. They're more talented than the vast majority if Jalen Hurts delivers. And if he's part of that. If he's not, then you got a big problem. I mean, you do. And I'm still not sold on Jalen, but I'm encouraged. He played better the last two games. I totally get it. All right, what do you make of it? 215-592-9494. Simple question. Are you bothered that the Eagles did not make a move at the trade deadline and did not upgrade? Does it bother you?
Very much so.
The more complex issue, what do we really have in this football team? And when you evaluate the last four games, knowing who they played, knowing the records, knowing how the Eagles won, what do we really have here? What do you think with this football team? All right, good morning to you. Jetta Cameron, John Rich, 94 WIP. So the whole Eagles thing's on the table. You know, the trade deadline, how good they really are, all that stuff. Also, by the way, AMA today. Now, we normally do it at 7. We're going to do AMA today at 7:20. We got a lot with the program today, including if you missed the Sirianni interview from yesterday, we're going to air that in about 20 minutes. Comprehensive. I mean, we covered a lot of ground, and you'll hear Sirianni on all that stuff coming up in about 20 minutes. All right, 215-592-9494. But for AMA, when we do it at 7:20 today, get those questions in, social media questions, Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. Three ways you can interact with the show in addition to the regular phone lines. Ask us some good questions. James will fire the best at us today at 7:20. All right.
You know what I was thinking, too, what we might want to throw out there? I was talking to Joe Wechter in the break. His hair is the perfect palette for anything.
For Joe Wechter?
Anything. Joe Wechter. Yeah, Joe Wechter. We're missing an artistic and creative opportunity.
What do you mean perfect palette?
I've been trying to
get... Like you could golf on it, like a putting green?
I've been trying to get Joe to grow the flower, or what would be the lion look.
So we're going back to this. This is old school
this
right here.
This is 7 years ago.
This is like the start of
John, can you explain to Devin what the flower is? Because most listeners right now probably don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Now, I know we're audio. Okay, so describe it for someone, John, who's listening.
It's next level style, really, where you incorporate the head hair with the face hair. So he would, his
Wait,
beard
I kind of
becomes,
get that. Yeah.
You know, his
like
beard grows into the hair on the top of his head. So it's like a mane or a flower or whatever
like
you want. With
the
his
petals,
face in the middle.
The hair are the petals.
Yes, yes.
I see
with
the vision.
With his face in the middle. So I've been asking him about this for a long time. And I'm just now realizing if he doesn't want to go all in with the flower or the mane, his hair is, at its white state, the perfect canvas, I guess, for any other color.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So, for those that don't know, John used to push this on someone named Eric Golden, who went by the name Turtle here in WFA.
Shout out to Turtles!
All right, Turtle's a great guy. John used to give
every day, he would come to Turtle and be like, Turtle, you did everything about the flower.
Hold on. I got to get to my question. Here's the question, John. Since you have pushed this flower thing on Turtle... And you now push it on Wechter. How about on yourself?
Yes!
Like, if you want to be such a tough guy, you should get the flower. You should get the flower.
There's this thing called a mirror, John. You can see it in the mirror.
Did your old hair qualify as the flower? Because you had long hair with facial hair that technically connected.
I have done things in the past that are equivalent to the flower.
No, that's not true.
I took a picture for the team, you know, for the team media guide with a stud stash on purpose, even though I knew it was terrible, just terrible. You saw, I took a photo for the Eagles media guide with a mullet.
I respect the sense of humor.
You saw the mullet.
I saw
That's
it.
Real, man. That
I
was 2005.
That. Yeah, I respect it.
It was not cool to have a mullet then.
Yeah, the joke was on you.
Yes, totally.
I like that. All right. So if you want John Ritchie to get this thing called the flower.
I don't want the flower. Well, I think Joe Wechter should consider the flower. Or he should use his hair as a canvas because of the color, the white color.
All right.
He could go all sorts of colors, especially with the holidays coming up.
All right. So look, should Wechter be Santa Claus? 215-592-9494 and go around town. All right. Now also, let's get to the reality of the Embiid suspension. So, you know, not a surprise that he was suspended. Let me read to you what the NBA wrote. They had a somewhat comprehensive thing they put out upon suspending him. Here's what the NBA said yesterday. Philadelphia 76ers center Joel Embiid has been suspended 3 games without pay for shoving a member of the media. It was announced by,
Joe Dumars.
Hold on. My fault. Let me get to the statement. Here's what they said. Yeah, from Dumars. Here's what the NBA put out. Mutual respect is paramount to the relationship between players and the media in the NBA. While we understand Joel was offended by the personal nature of the original version of the reporter's column, interactions must remain professional on both sides and can never turn physical. So JoJo suspended 3 games. There's so much to unpack on this situation. It's like the Kelsey one. There's just so many different tentacles to it. I mean, one of the things I am struck by today and was struck by yesterday before this suspension came out was the miraculous and perhaps legitimate, but perhaps not legitimate news earlier yesterday that, voila, Joel's getting really close to being ready to play.
He can serve it now. Close. Just serve it. We're good. He can serve it now. No problem.
How fishy was that? And I'm not saying
unbelievable.
Look, it might not be. It might be true. I mean, when Joel spoke last Friday, he indicated he was getting really close. But Rhea, how high in the air was your antenna when you heard that he's really close? And then shortly after that, 3-game suspension.
It was completely expected. I mean, it was, you know, it was the eye roll. It was the exaggerated eye roll. Like, you know, and then it's going to come to the November 12th game against the Knicks, and I'll be like, you know, maybe his knee's not so ready.
Well, that's the thing. I'll say
I feel
this.
Like now they has to play,
he
right?
He has no choice but to play in that game.
Because he has to.
He has to.
He's serving the suspension. He has to prove that he could have played the suspension game.
Because then
cannot miss. He is playing. We know for sure when Joel Embiid's playing.
If not, he would probably be suspended again.
That's my point.
Like suspended this is,
and the organization would
I know.
Hit. Yeah.
I know. All right. Let's get calls in here. 215-592-9494. If you want to react to the whole Joel situation, the Eagles, how good are they? What do you make of the 4-game winning streak against teams with a combined record of 10-26? And trade deadline, how frustrated are you? Let's get to Brandon right now. Brandon, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. How are we doing this morning?
Good, buddy.
Doing well, Brandon.
Good. Hey, listen, I am concerned that nothing happened at the trade deadline.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
And Joey D, after you put together that combined wins and losses over the last four teams we played,
yep.
I'm a little puzzled how you are not really concerned at all, right?
Well, like, because I don't know that the Eagles are good enough to merit going in on this. I mean, I understand they're probably going to make the playoffs. I get that. But I also know there's got to be a standard. If you're going to really make moves at the trade deadline and give up stuff, I want you to think that you have a reasonable chance to compete for the Super Bowl. And I'm not there yet. Maybe I will be in 2 or 3 weeks, Brandon, but I'm just not there yet.
So should we assume that Howie is not believing that this team has a legitimate shot?
Yeah, that's a possibility. But the other possibility is maybe Howie and other GMs just could come to terms on certain players. Like, it's hard to know, right? We're not in that war room.
I cannot imagine that it would be we're not making deals because Howie, but
the Jahan Dotson thing could be part of it. You mentioned it, but then he already gave up a third round pick for a guy and he's not gotten great results. And he's like, listen, I'm not adding more. Like, I already made my trade. Brandon, for what it's worth, you can say
this shouldn't be a factor, but other than the acquisition of Jay Ajayi, most of these trade deadline deals by Howie have been a disaster.
All of them.
Yeah.
And he may be gun shy from that standpoint.
I think that might be factoring in here.
It could be. So, Brandon, I mean, look, it's a little complicated. And again, I think the main thing is how good are the
Eagles? These are cheap deals. These are cheap deals that are getting done for players that they look like stars in some cases. These edge rushers who changed hands for multiple multiple picks, but it's like sixth and seventh rounders. They can make major plays this season for the new team that they're on, but maybe I don't understand why we wouldn't be trying for that stuff. It's possible we just missed, and that's why it's possible we were in on that. We were hoping for
that. Oh, I'm sure they tried.
I wish we could have hit because we are still lacking for pass rushers in a major way.
All right. You know, I'm thinking more and more, if Joel did not play in game four, let's remember the last time he was supposed to play in game four, he did not. And I'm not talking the Knicks series. I'm talking game four of this season. Remember, he's going to be out three. He's out three. He's out three games.
Yeah.
The implication was game four. Good to go. Didn't work out that way. All right. So Sixers later tonight, we'll see Maxi and Paul George together
for the second time. Paul George know how many points are at the end of the game.
I would certainly hope so. Holy mackerel, I would hope so.
Another boneheaded play.
So this does officially count as the first.
This is the first.
Of the suspension.
Yeah. This is
which
the
is
first.
Why I personally don't have an issue with them declaring Embiid ready to play yesterday, because it's strategic. Like, they're doing it intentionally.
But my point
is, he's going to be out.
My point, though, is he must play the fourth game now.
I agree.
Because
I think
if
he will.
Not, sure, he probably will, but if he doesn't, I mean,
it's
would anything surprise you?
Exactly. At this point, nothing would surprise.
All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. You can check out Armin's selection of quality one owner pre-owned vehicles at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. Poll question, does it bother you that the Eagles did not make a trade yesterday before the NFL trade deadline? A, yes. B, no. Does it bother you? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter, and obviously weigh in on the phone lines as well to let us know the answer to that question, 215-592-9494. Let's also get to the conversation we had late in the program with Nick Sirianni yesterday. We always enjoy, obviously, the opportunity to talk to the Eagles head coach, sometimes different circumstances, given a win or a loss, or a win that people are complaining about. James, the win that people are happy about has been rare lately.
We don't get many of those.
Right? No. And he's part of the reason a lot of people get frustrated.
Bengals game, that was cool. Yeah. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. All right, so let's listen to it. Sirianni yesterday, right before he jumped on with this, John had been referencing that he FaceTimes, the players, and we kind of got right in there because John had just been talking about that. Here's Nick Sirianni yesterday. We welcome the 6-2 head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni. Good morning, Nick.
Morning, guys. I'm not going to FaceTime you, though.
That would be cool.
That wouldn't work that well on radio. Now, off air, we'll accept the call. We wouldn't mind that.
It would be so personal.
There you go.
I'd be flattered.
So, Nick, let's start with that. John just touched on it, so let's just get to that, and then we'll get to everything else. But so this connectivity thing, which obviously has been a hallmark of your tenure, where did it come from in your background that I think you lean into it more than most as coaches? And what is the frequency with which you reach out to the guys to try to connect in that way?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that any team, I think it starts with this. Any team I've ever been on, it's about team. Any good team I've ever been on, it's always been about team. And it's not the best groups of individuals that wins. It's the best teams. It's the teams that are willing to go a little bit harder because they don't want to disappoint the guy next to them. That dates all the way back to I'm shooting baskets in my driveway at my house, any summer day. And I can't tell you how many times there was a former player that pulled up and said, "Yeah, I'm back in town. Is your dad home? And I just want to say hi to Coach Sirianni." And always that relationship I thought meant a ton. And then fast forward to when I was in college, I had a pretty significant injury, and it forced me to be in the hospital for about 2 weeks, a football injury. And excuse me. And the day after it happened, we were playing, or 2 days after it happened, we were playing a game. And my head coach, Larry Karras, came into the hospital room, the day of the game. And I don't remember what he said. I don't remember much about that. But what I do remember is he sat there, talked with me and my parents for a while. He left. He said, "Hey, Nick, we're going to miss you out there today and the rest of the year." And there was something in me that said, this guy really cares about me. This guy really loves me. And I don't know if I'm capable of being an All-American, but I want to be an All-American for Larry Karras because I know he cares about me. And, I wasn't good enough to be an All-American. I was second team all OAC, Ohio Athletic Conference in college. But, so I didn't quite reach that feat, but, I did respect the heck out of him, and I did know he cared about me, and I just knew that there was with those couple moments and those things that you're brought up in, just like anything, it shapes who you are, and it shapes what you believe in, and it shapes how you lead. And I think those are the things that are there, and then those are the things that you remember most about all the players that you've been around, is the relationships. You admire the plays that they've made, but you admire more the time that you spent with them and the relationships that you have. That's going to last forever.
Yeah, that's important. You know, Nick, I heard a story years ago that when Coach Vermeil was about to coach the Rams in that Super Bowl, shortly before it, I don't know if it's an hour, 2 or 3 hours before the Super Bowl, he called his quarterback from UCLA. And he thanked him for, you know, if that quarterback doesn't do what he does in the 70s, Dick Vermeil probably doesn't become an Eagles head coach. If he doesn't, he probably doesn't coach the Rams in 1999. So that stuff matters. All right, Nick, let's talk
about
that. Awesome. Yeah,
I got a lot of phone calls to make and thank a lot of players that put me in this spot then today.
There you go. All right, so Nick, let's talk about Sunday. And so obviously some very notable fourth down decisions and 2-point conversion decisions on Sunday, and you said yesterday, and this was the quote, you said, "I think we did the right thing in all those scenarios." So what do you say? And I thought you did in some and not in others, full disclosure. That's what I've been saying the last 2 days. What do you say to the people who disagree with you on 1, 2, 3, 4 of them? What do you say to people who think you got it wrong a couple times?
Sure, yeah. I know that any time a fourth down decision doesn't succeed, that's going to be a lonely place for myself. And it's also going to be a moment that, you know, I'm going to always have to, look at and say, did I go through the right process, or was I reactionary? Well, everything that I try to teach our guys is to be process oriented. So you're not making rash decisions during the game off your hip or whatever. And so all those decisions I made were exactly what they're Eagle football. It's what we've been doing for the last 4 years or last 3.5 years that I've been the head coach. It's been Eagle football. And it's not easy. Obviously it's not easy, because when it fails, there's going to be criticism. And when it succeeds, you know, no one's really high fiving me, and that's okay. But you're doing everything you possibly can do to put the team in a position to win. And so those are all decisions that I'll go back. Like, and we were 11-15 on fourth down going into that game. And so, what we're proud of is that we followed our process, and that, you know, there was noise after the New Orleans game that, you know, we shouldn't have done something, or you know what? And we continued to play Eagle football, of what we know Eagle football is. And it helped us get a lead in the Giants game on a 4th-and-3. It helped us early on in the Green Bay game on a 4th-and-3 that helped convert to drives. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those don't go your way. You're not going to be 100% on those. And I have to be able to do what I think's best for the football team at all times, regardless of public opinion, regardless of criticism. I think that's what leader, you know, you're not going to be popular as a leader at all times. It's just not going to be, it's not the reality of leadership. But leadership is doing everything you think is the right thing to do, not off gut reactions, but off of your process and the preparation that you did, right, to help your team succeed and block out every outside noise. Because if I want my team to block out outside noise when it's good, and I want my team to block out outside noise when it's bad, to just focus on the process, then I sure as heck better do it.
Nick, you talk about the players on a good team. They don't want to disappoint the guys next to them. Do you find that that affects you as a play caller? You know, do you find that you can go for it at times on offense to show the players that you trust them, to reinforce that you believe they can win in that situation?
Of course, yeah. I think that, again, you don't want to let anybody down. That's why you feel so bad when it doesn't go your way, and you feel great when it does. But I think that all comes down to back to the relationships and back to the trust. I have to trust my process of what, again, it's not any numbers that are telling me what to do. It's my trust in the players, right? On a 4th-and-3 against the New York Giants, I think there was a video out that our team put out. It was like, I'm watching this video and I'm remembering what I said. Like, I circled Jalen Hurts and I circled AJ Brown. I said, I'm going for this right here because I trust the crap out of you guys. Like, you guys, Like, you guys have showed me time and time again, like, that you've been successful in this, and we score a touchdown there. You know, and I did, and I trusted them on fourth and three in this game. It didn't go our way this time. But I think it does come down to, again, trusting your process, not being reactionary, not having any influence from any outside noise, and just trusting what you do, because we spent a lot of time on that, a lot of time. And then trusting, you know, it comes down to trusting your players. We do, like, again, you're on a good team, so you trust your players. I trust A.J. Brown. I trust Devontae Smith. I trust Jalen Hurts. I trust Saquon Barkley. I trust Lane Johnson, Mekhi Becton, Cam Jurgens, Landon Dickerson, Jordan Mailata when he's back, Fred Johnson now. I trust Dallas Goedert. I mean, that's been a big reason where we've been able to get leads and have the success we've had, is because we haven't kicked field goals and we've been able to go and get points. But I fully understand, guys, that when it doesn't go your way, there's going to be criticism. But again, you got to do what you think's best for the football team, and that's not blind faith, right? I think that, you know, faith is, you know, we have blind faith in our faith, but then you have faith because of results and what's happened and what you see at practice every day,
sure,
and what you've seen on Sundays for the last couple of years. And so that's where that conviction, that the process, the trust comes into play.
So, Nick, one of the late decisions, and let's talk about trust from the perspective of the defense. So you go for the 57-yard field goal. What about the trust in the defense to say, if I punt this ball with a good punter, he probably gets the ball around the 10, and I make Trevor Lawrence, and I'll say it, you won't, but a very not good offense, have to go 90 yards against my defense, which has largely dominated the game. I mean, where does that come into the equation in that moment instead of a 57-yarder, which if you miss it, and you do have a good chance to miss it, the ball's sitting right by midfield?
Yeah, I think that's even more trust in your defense to say, if you do miss it, you know they're going to stop them, and we did. But I understand. I understand your question.
Sure.
I think the trust comes in Jake and the field goal unit first and foremost. 2 years ago, you know, I put myself, the things that we go through with situational game management things, you know, that's going to be a 3-hour meeting that I have today. That's meetings throughout the week. And then that's review of all those things and tapes of these things on Saturday. I put a lot of time into this and, you know, that's my job as a head coach, to make sure that we're managing the game the right way. So I take myself back and you put yourself, and again, the trust that you have in players. You know, a lot of different metrics are used to help me make these decisions. Trust, past experience, analytics, all those things. All those things help you make these decisions. But I think, again, I say again, first and foremost is the trust in the players. So 2 years ago against Green Bay, we were up 7 points. And the ball was actually back a little bit further. It was a little bit more of a windy day. We were going the other way, but we were up 7 points. I believe it was 37-30. In the fourth quarter, I'm like, okay, here we go. Let's let Jake put us up 2 scores. And he crushed it. He nailed it. It was great operation. And so, you know, it was this very similar one. Now, you're not going to go up 2 scores, but you're going to go up 8. And when you're up 8, it's a different feeling than when you're up 7, because you know that, you know, it's just a little bit of a different feeling,
sure,
both offensively and defensively. And so that was in my mind, and I did what I thought in that time was the right thing. It didn't work. So our defense had to play defense with a little bit shorter of a field, and they did, and they did an awesome job. Nicobe made a great play. You know, it's pretty cool when you win on a walk-off touchdown. So I think that I trusted Jake in that spot. It didn't work this time, and I have no doubt that Jake's one of the most clutch kickers in the NFL. I mean, look at his track record. The last year's Buffalo game, hitting that, and that was to tie it up to go to overtime, but hitting that one from the 42-yard line in the rain and the wind and all that crap. And so, you know, again, you trust in them and then trust in the defense that if we do miss this, you know, they've been playing pretty darn good football all game, that we can get a stop if we do.
Nick, what's going wrong with the tush push? We've grown unaccustomed to not converting in goal line and short yardage situations, and then all of a sudden we got hit with a couple non-conversions. What went wrong?
Yeah, man, that play's been so electric for – I don't want to say electric because you only gain like 2 yards on it, but like, right, it's been
effective
so
is all hell.
Yeah. Effective would be the word,
effective.
Yeah.
There you go. That's why you guys talk all day, and I, yeah, effective is the right word. man, you know what? Hats off to Jacksonville. They did a really good job. And you know what? We're going back to the drawing board. We've had a lot of success there, and we got to do a couple different things coaching wise. That's gonna help some things out that I still got a lot of faith in. Because again, you don't lose faith in something just because of one day. And you know, I know we've missed a couple this year, but you know, I don't know exactly what our percentages are comparatively to last year, but I know it's still been highly productive, more so than other plays and other teams doing it, you know. And so, again, hats off to Jacksonville. They had a good plan. They did a good job. When you load the box and do something to stop it, the other things become there's other opportunities for you. And so we'll continue to press on as coaches to make sure that play is – we still got the right guys to do that play and to do everything there, and so we'll try to help these guys be in better spots. I know we'll work our fundamentals that it takes to be good there. We studied the crap out of what Jacksonville did to stop it, and have some answers to go forward from there, because we know we'll probably see it again.
Nick Sirianni here. Two final things. An all timer by Saquon, the whole thing, the play, the game, the season, it's all an all timer. How, though, in, like, the world can the replay booth determine that Jags defender tripping him did not contribute to him falling? I mean, I thought it was a travesty. What did you make of it? And how shocked were you when you heard the official call upon review?
I was hoping you'd ask me more about the play that he made than the one that I'm upset about, yeah.
You can't get fined for talking about his great play, right?
Exactly. I know you guys don't care about the final.
No, we do care, but it really, I mean, Nick, here's what I'll just say this. So there's a narrative out there that the game was close because the game was close, but I really believe a lot of people have missed the other team being handed 7 points. Like, literally, here you go, other team, here's 7 points. That made the game closer than it would have been.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. I think, you know what, it's very, I'll say it this way. I'll always keep my conversations with the league private. I won't ever put those out there, just like I won't with any players or anything like that. And we're still waiting to hear back. So I don't even have that answer yet, but, I do know this, and that these things happen to level out as the year goes on. You're going to get some calls. You're going to miss some calls. And you're not going to get some calls. So it's like, this is coming from me, who gets, you know, animated about a call that doesn't go his way at times, right? And so I think I've done a better job at this of not, you know, not being irate at different calls. And there was a couple times that I was in the game. I felt like with the quarterback sneak on the 2-point conversion that didn't go. I mean, I really still feel like we got in because Jalen reached the ball over the goal line. But those plays, again, we're going to get a call, whether it's in the game that you're playing or a game that you're playing next week. They're all things, they even themselves out. And so I've tried not to get too crazy about anything like that. And I know, and I think you guys should. Like, I'm not telling you guys not to. I think you should. But that's my perspective. That's my perspective on it, that, you know, sometimes they go, you know, the ball, this ball that we play with is this whatever shaped ball, this oval shaped ball that we play with, bounces different ways, and sometimes you get the bounce that you need and sometimes you don't. Like, for instance, Jake's ball hit the goalpost. Yeah. Sometimes that bounces in and you get a hit off of it. And that's the same way with calls. And they got a hard job to do. That's not my job to criticize them. My job is to coach this team the best I can possibly coach this team to help them be ready to play and win each week.
All right, Nick, final thing, and this is something we've been wondering for a few weeks. Most important thing of all, why does Big Dom have a headset on? What's going on there?
Oh, shoot. Yeah, again, we've had some headset issues. He's just there to help if any headset issues happen right there, have it back up for me there. And so, yeah, I wouldn't look too much into that.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. All right, Nick, congratulations on the 4-game winning streak, and good luck versus Dallas, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that was Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni late in the program yesterday. Look,
want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.